So last time we started on the issue of the pruta for kesef kiddushin, and we began by noting the currency calculations that are out there trying to translate pruta into various currencies. We went through the Gemara in Kiddushin Yud Beis, Rav Yosef's attempt to say that pruta is whatever the most minimal coin is that is in use. Abaye demonstrated as a fixed value, 1/8 of an Italian Easter, 1/6 of an Italian Easter. And we ended up knocking out Rabbi Yosef's view. We then started on the question of how to read the conclusion of the Gemara, and we have three different approaches to the word kesef as it appears in Chumash that will each determine how we understand the meaning of pruta. So the first approach, the one that we started on last time, is that kesef is a coin. Not necessarily a silver coin, but a coin, and it has the purchasing power of 1/8 or 1/6 of an Isser. The second approach was that kesef is a monetary value equal to 1/8 or 1/6 of an Isser, but it has nothing to do with coins at all. And then the third approach is that kesef is a quantity of silver, as you would find in 1/8 or 1/6 of an Isser, whether it's as a coin or not, whether it's of a particular value or not, doesn't make a difference. And we noted that there are various cases in which your definition of kesef will matter, such as what if the kesef used for a kiddushin is less than a half kernel of silver, but it happens to be worth a lot. So if you say, well, the worth is what matters, then fine. If you say that the amount of silver matters, then not fine. So our first approach, the one that we unpacked first, was that kesef is a coin with a certain purchasing power. And I brought the sources on the sheet again just for the sake of being complete. So you see Rashi there defines pruta in the Mishnah as nechoshes. Now the truth is, reading that myself, I would have just said Rashi is telling you that pruta is indeed a coin made of nechoshes, copper, brass, bronze, again, as we discussed the metallurgy last week. I wouldn't have assumed that he was saying that kesef in the Torah therefore means coin. I would not have drawn that conclusion, but I'm not the Avnei Nezer. The Avnei Nezer did think that indeed it means coin, and it means and the idea is that we work with pruta as the standard for kiddushin. That means a coin, whether it's silver or not, doesn't matter. Because Rashi is telling you the pruta is in fact nechoshes. Other Rishonim, we noted, contend that the pruta that the Mishnah is talking about does indeed have silver in it. The Rambam thinks it is silver. The Meiri thinks that it has silver in it, but not that it is. That it is silver. One thing that I did want to note, someone was listening to the shiur online, which is very nice. Someone listened to the shiur online and he emailed me the classic challenge to this point, which is, you didn't have coins back in the day. Meaning, by the Gemara's time, of course you do. But in the time of Chumash, they're not using coins. The earliest minted coins, at least based on discoveries, and again, you know, discoveries are always subject to revision when you find other things, but the earliest coins found in the world are in the area of modern Greece/Turkey, late 7th century before the Common Era. Meaning somewhere around the year 700 before the Common Era. So you're somewhere in the first base Hamikdash, but long after what you're seeing in Chumash.
Like Ephraim was just made like gold or silver.
So what you had then were lumps of metal, correct? The way the metal battered in terms of its weight.
That's not how the Midrashim understand it.
Okay.
I'm just saying. The Gemara says that different people in history had coins.
I understand that. The Gemara is not
about a coin.
But it doesn't mean that it's a... No, okay, so no. This is a matter of language. This is a matter of language. You have to understand what you mean when you say the word coin. Stop. What we mean when we say the word coin, the self-fulfilling nevuah here, he said, don't sit next to the rabbi because he's going to hit you. When you see the word coin used, what it means is a unit of metal that's used as a currency and has a certain weight. That's not what we're talking about when we say the word coin. Coin means a minted piece of material which is used to represent value, having nothing to do with its inherent value. So
it's our kesef.
Yeah. V'tzarta kesef means you should bind up the money. V'tzarta kesef biyadcha, v'achta al hamakom, right? It just means bind it up in your hand.
Rashi's
in a chanami.
You're saying it doesn't happen. Didn't happen.
I'm saying that in the time of the Chumash, it wasn't a matter of what your picture is on your coin. What the matter was what's your quantity of metal that you have. That's the word shekel. The word matbeah doesn't show up in Chumash. There's a reason for that. Because they didn't use them. What you're talking about are shkalim, slaim, beka, gera. These are all weights. These aren't minted coins that are meant to represent value. This is not my chiddush. You can look in many svarim, which will point it out. I think I gave you a link, actually. Did I put the link on the sheet? If not, I will... The Benish link. Yes, I did. In source chavav. When I get around to talking about Tzuri, Kesef Tzuri, and what that means, so there I brought you an article which translates. I don't know if Rav Benish did the translation or if there's someone else translating his work, trying to explain the origin of what we have today. And you'll see there, it's a very firm article. It's not an issue of some kind of heresy sneaking in. It's just not so. The Torah's term Kesef, saying that the word Kesef meant coin, is a problematic statement historically. It's just not, I mean, all evidence in the Chumash is that it's not so, that that's not what they meant, and that when they used the word, when they used the term coin, all the different coins that...
Save that one.
There you go. Like I said, there's no heresy sneaking in. I wasn't going to say it on the recording, but you said it.
I'll stay unannounced.
But again, one more time, when you see the word coin used in Chumash, you're not talking about a minted coin representing value. You're talking about a piece of metal that was a standardized unit of weight that was used for transactions. When Abraham gives Arba Meos Shekel Kesef, a shekel is a weight. Not an abstract coin. So that's just a ha'ara on this point.
What's Ovela so fair?
That would be accepted by merchants.
Okay.
Yeah. There's nothing in Chumash that flies in the face of this. Okay. So the second approach, it's also an interesting, Over La Socher is an interesting predictive, but that has nothing to do with our discussion. Okay. The second approach, is that Kesef is a particular monetary value. We see this, for example, regarding Pidyon HaBen, where the Gemara of Metziah Mem Dalet Amud Beis says that 5 selah are a monetary value that is pegged to gold, even though the Torah's word is kesef. Kesef didn't mean it has to be silver. Kesef meant it has to be a certain value. Some believe that this is the Ritva's perspective. If you take a look on your sheet, source Hay, he seems to say this. He's commenting on that Gemara that we read last week, Kiddushin Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which had the initial discussion that started us off about whether it's value or not. And he comments on it saying the following, Barminan uchlalahu, very tiny dichsib kiteni shavayehu kesef, utnana tano shtei kesef, tainu shtei moed. He quotes you a piece from the Gemara, from Kiddushin Yud Aleph. I'm not going to go back into that Gemara. The point is what comes next. Iyamri bishlama de kesef shal Torah, eino kesef mamash elamamot. He says, it's fine if you're going to tell me that the word kesef, as it appears in the Torah, does not mean kesef, meaning silver, but rather means mamon, monetary value. Umasar akasav l'chol, misar akasav l'chacham, and we don't. L'chol echad k'fi mashahu, and each time that it is used, the chacham have to evaluate and say, this is the sum that we're talking about here. Haynu da'acha b'kidushin ha'bidinur, right, assuming you're b'shamay. And as far as Tana, meaning in Modem Mixas and so on, it is two Ma, and said Vamal Pruta, Kfi Mashur Chachamim. Ella, Iamrit, the Kesef Shal Torah, Kesef Tzri Mamash, Umadbeya Yadua. But if you're going to tell me that Kesef, as it's used in the Torah, means Kesef Tzri, and again, we have to come back to the word Tzri, I'm not translating it right now, or a known coin, Lama Nishtanu Shirayan. Why would it be that the shear, that the amount that would be used for the coin would vary for different halachos? Meaning, if the word kesef, what he's trying to tell you is, if the word kesef actually means coin, then why is it that when the Torah says kesef for pidyon haben, and when the Torah says kesef for kiddushin, we are karka and therefore kiddushin, why do we have different values? He says it can't be. The answer is kesef means money, a monetary value. And he seems very clear. The Ritva seems very clear that that's what he believes. He also has it in source Vav, in his comments to the beginning of the Masechta. I highlighted in bold for you. Sfira Lahula Beis Hillel. The lav kesef mamash ella mamon. Right? It doesn't mean silver. What it means is monetary value. And therefore, the Avnei Miluim says that's exactly what the Ritva meant. In source Zion, he says, Achashali b'divay Ritva, the Sfira lay the kesef tekra hainu mamon. He says, I am bothered by those who say kesef is something other than monetary value. Because the Ritva says that kesef in the pasuk means mamon, monetary value, v'leka pruta ala shava pruta. In which case, what do you mean pruta? The whole pruta concept is different. It doesn't make any sense. Meaning, if you follow the Ritva to his logical conclusion, then you don't understand why the Mishnah needs to say that you can be mekadesh with pruta or shava pruta. All things are shava pruta by definition. The only thing that matters is monetary value. There is no coin that's a first thing. If you take the Ritva's view, I don't understand our Mishnah well. That's how the Avnei Miluim understood what the Ritva was saying. But this is extremely problematic. First of all, because most Rishonim are going to say that the word kesef means quantity of silver. But the third view that we're going to take, that kesef means a certain weight of silver, really, that obviously the Ritva is not in favor of. Not only that, Kiddushin Yud Aleph Amud Beis said in the end that it was a quantity, right? Which we come out with as half a barley kernel, as the Rambam is going to say. But the Gemara was very clear that it thought that it was a quantity. And not only that, the Ritva himself says it. If you go take a look at Source Ches, this is a big problem for the Avnei Miluim. Look at the part that I bolded. Upruta hu mishkol chatzi sa'ora shal kesef naki. That doesn't sound like a value, right? Half a barley kernel of pure silver. That's the Ritva's own statement. And indeed, the Avnei Miluim asks... Sorry?
Is he not quoting it according to a different opinion?
That's his own statement. That's not part of a quote.
No, but he's saying, let's see what these people wrote. Okay.
No, go back and look in the original. I don't believe so. Yes, we're going to come back to it. So this is a big problem. The Avnei Miluim himself asks the question. He says, if you're serious about this, then why did I need a pasuk to teach me that Shvei Kesef is acceptable?
Didn't the Ritva not need a pasuk to teach
him that? Well, that's the thing. But he says, but the Gemara thinks that we do.
You can't ask a question.
But he does. And in truth, not everyone thinks the Ritva meant this when he said Kesef is mamon. The Chazanish has his own read. If you take a look at Tess, he says, Kavanas Ritva. The Kesef Hainu Mamon Rotza Lomar. Watch this. This is a piece of true ledger domain. He says, Rotza Lomar, the Kesef Stam Eino Meshur B'Madbeya Pachusa Sheyi Ashir Zed Davka Ela Mimin Shel Kesef. He says, what the Ritva means to say is simply that you don't need to give a precise pruta. That kiddushin is with the worth of a pruta within the coin that you give, even if the coin is worth more. That's how he reads the Ritva's statement. The Shevet Alevi, Chelek Dalet, Shuva Kuf Ayin Aleph, also comes up with another way to read the Ritva, to agree with the other Rishonim. He says it can't be. He also notes that there's a Ritva in Shavuos Lamechesem and Beis that doesn't seem to fit the way the Avnei Miluim reads the Ritva. But he says it can't. He's horrified. He says every Rishon not named Ritva doesn't think that this is correct. That it's a monetary value. He says it can't be the Ritva's disagreeing with the entire world. And so he gives you yet another read of it. However, even though among the Rishonim this read is highly unpopular, there are Acharonim who adopt this view. Most famously, the Sma. If you take a look at source Yud, the Sma took the position that purchasing power matters. He said, "Beprisha kasavti," refers to his own comments on the Torah. "Delafima shakasa moreno harama v'yaradeh reish simin shin hay." Based on what the Rama wrote in the laws of pidyon haben, the hay slim shel pidyon haben shu gam kein kesef naki, that the five seller used for pidyon haben ... nimsa deshir pruta yishminis mifeneg biner velitvish. He says your pruta ends up being 1/8 of a fenig. Uktas kasha lomer kate. Dishminis mi fenig yechashiv mama makadish po zayisha belios hadayonim niskakim lo. He says, I don't understand. 1/8 of a fenig. That's similar to my reaction. 1/8 of a fenig, really? He says, 1/8 of a fenig can't be significant enough such that you could execute kiddushin with it, or such that you would say that judges have to hear a case in court if it's a matter of 1/8 of a fenig or more. Bev Shalomar, Shabi Mehen, Hayu, he says, look at this. You could say in their days, Hayu Aperos Vakinyonim Bizol. You could say that produce back in the day, or items that you might want to purchase, were very cheap. Uba'ad Pruta, you call him Harvey Peros, you could buy a lot for 1/8 of a pfennig. I remember when I was young and hot dogs were 1/8 of a pfennig. Ulaka Haisa Pruta Chashuvo Kimamon. And then the pruta mattered. Well, if he's there, but based on that, bismanenu dein yecholon liknos bepruta ki ma'at mizeir. Today he says you can buy barely anything with a pruta. Min hadin havalon lemeimar dein kiddusha isha sagi bepruta v'lo penyun aben b'shnei zehuvim tzarechiyun. He says I have to think that you can't use a pruta for kiddusha anymore, and you can't use two zehuvim for penyun aben either. The Nachla Shiva says I don't know what you're talking about in source Yud Aleph. He says, Tmihaso, he has a side note first where I didn't quote this yet. I was going to mention it later, but I guess I'll mention it now because I put it in my notes now. But the Shach, did I bring it on the sheet? The Shach in Yud Gimel. Jump to Yud Gimel for a second. I wanted to mention it later, but the Nachla Shiva mentioned it before I did. He says, Utmihani, the Shach is shocked in his comments to Hechos Pedyon Aben. Nehi da'avala le'meimer de'in kiddusha isha sagi b'fruta. He says, I hear you regarding kiddushin, that a fruta is insufficient. Mikomakom amaylo tiski pedyon aben b'shnei zehuvim damam chashuvu. But what's your problem, pedyon aben? Two gold coins is still very valuable, he writes. So he doesn't understand that. So the Nachla Shiva says the Shach is accepting the basic premise of the Sma. He's arguing, you know, fine points. Where will it apply? Where won't it apply? But fundamentally, his question is still, you know, he accepts the idea of the Sma. But now go to where I bolded. Mikomakom. La biyokra vizola talya milsa. It's not about how expensive things are or how cheap things are. Let's say you live in a place where, through deflation, everything is really, really cheap. So you could buy things for half a bruta. So you kind of shisha b'chatzi bruta. Does that mean now that the standard for kiddushin drops? Are you willing to say that as well? He says there can't be any distinction between when things go up, when things go down. The standard we keep quoting, which we're going to have to explain, half a barley kernel of pure silver, as the Bartanua writes for each kiddushin. He says, it's not about things going up, things going down. It's the amount of silver, pure and simple. That's the position of the Nachla Shiva. For those who are not familiar with Nachla Shiva, I think I mentioned him in one of the earlier shiurim, it is the gold standard, if I can use that phrase in this shiur. It is the gold standard for Sfarim on Shtaros, certainly on all issues related to marriage. It's a must-read sefer. So he goes on to say, just to finish his thought, he says, V'od. He says further, "Da'avin biyokra v'zula talya milsa." Even if you're going to say it is about what it's worth, mikomakom im ein yachol liknas v'pruta klum mikomakom lechkudeshes chayshin shemet b'madaya kinyan v'zul v'yachol liknas harbi v'pruta. He says even if you are going to talk about purchasing power, remember the Gemara Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis said it isn't just about local purchasing power. What about what its value is elsewhere? Maybe you can buy more in Madai. Maybe you can buy more somewhere else. In which case, even if the pruta is not worth that much where you live, Rabbi Sma, maybe it's worth more somewhere else. And then finally, he takes the quantity view. That's his position, is that in his last bit there, that it's really about quantity, saying that the one case he would outright reject for Kiddushin would be if you had silver that was less than the weight of half a barley kernel, that he would reject, because it's all about quantity. Yes, Jeffrey?
So all this thing about the kesef, about the has to be a fixed amount of kesef to pruta. So Rashi says it's right in the chosha, so I'm confused.
Right, so Rashi's trying to tell you on the Mishnah that either you take the way the Avnei Nezer takes him, that what Rashi is saying is that kesef means coin, and it doesn't have to be a silver coin. What Rashi's trying to tell you is that it has to be a minted coin. That's all that it matters. That was our first view that we brought at the end last week. That's why the Avnei Nezer takes it. Again, I'm not so convinced that that has to be what Rashi means, but the Avnei Nezer thinks it does.
This whole last part also fits in well with what we did on Anahat. Remember we said that in those sharing that today there's no fixed value. Everyone has different prices, so it's also the same thing here, right?
Except that currency isn't. Except that currency is not supposed to change in value. Everything else changes in value.
Right.
But that's part of the inherent problem.
That's what
here.
You're seeing over here.
Yeah.
Cost things in different places. Different
yeah.
Prices. But that's what we learned, right?
Yes.
There's no such thing as a set price anymore.
For commodities.
Yeah.
Yeah, correct. The Tiferes Yisrael also objects, and he gives you an economics lesson. For anyone who didn't do Economics 101, take a look at Source Yud Beis. Tiferes Yisrael commenting on Mishnah in the Sixth Parak in Shavuos. He named Mashakasav Sma. That going back to the time of the Gemara, you could buy a lot more with your kesef. He notes your tosfos in menachos. I added in brackets the tosfos there was talking about what it costs to buy birds to use as a cane for a bird carbon because they give you an amount there. He says, I can't believe there was ever a time when you could buy a cow for 5 selah. He says, that's unbelievable. What a discount. He says, this is logical. Why? Here's his economics lesson. He says, every day there's a greater supply of metal in the world. Because, sorry?
Borgvork is mining?
Yes. The I think Berg is a mountain, no?
Berg is a mountain and work is work.
Or no, Berg is a mountain, right? So yeah, so it's mountain work. It's mining. But he says, it's a pretty good explanation. So yes. So he says, there's more silver available every day. Since there's more silver, so it's not going to be worth as much against food as it used to be. They're going to go up in value. Granted that there are more wealthy people than there were, nonetheless, there are more people eating than there are mining. Look at all the people who are out of work. And he says, that's why things are so expensive. He says, when there's more silver than there is food, food goes up in value. And he refers you to the Gemara at the end of Suvos that talks about what if the man wants to live in a city or his wife wants to live in a city, can they compel the other one to move to the city? Where the Gemara talks about the difficulties of living in cities. So he says, why? Because the... it's a very expensive place to live. Whereas if there's more food than there is money, meaning metal, really, then it's all inexpensive. Like in every small and impoverished town, okay, more food, fewer people eating it. That's the Tiferes Yisrael's economics view of economics. So he now comes back to our point. He says, he says that answers the question of how it is that in fact silver has changed in value so much. Quint. I don't know what measure of what type of currency that is, but for
it doesn't matter because we're relating.
Right, we're relating quints. It's all quints anyway. Right. But jumping over the line, he says, "Ludvarenu mitzuras." Does that call if he reboy hanimtsa beborgvork b'machbares? The matzuz of yoser is yakera kesef. Kshenimtsa kesef yoser is yakera zav. It all depends on the quantity that you are mining. That's really what it's about. Very. Bizmaninu shuv nis yakera zav. Yoser mibizmana tosus. In our day, gold is worth more than it was in Tosus' day. And he goes on to give you a whole bunch of other currencies. Amnam mashehinia hasma b'tzarich iyun im hashda sagi b'pruta kazos l'shvua v'kiddushin. He says, as far as the sma's problem of can you really use a pruta for kiddushin? T'mehani ma'od mamis tavek rabbeinu b'zeh. I don't know what his problem is. Ve'echach l'tino. How did he come to his conclusion? Harepir shechazal borum olalu. He says the Gemara in kiddushin is explicit. Sav Rabbi Yosef l'meim a pruta koldehu. Rabbi Yosef wanted to say that a pruta means whatever minimal coin they are using. Umakshi v'hatanya. And the Gemara challenged it. Right? We said it's echad mishminis meisar ha'italki. It's 1/8 of min isru. Machlad ha'shas shom she'eino kein. Alma da pruta katsu va'omei v'chol eis b'shavai. So the pruta doesn't change. It's not about value. The Tiferes Yisrael says, I don't understand why the Sma is even asking this question. Nonetheless, the Sma accept, the Shach accepted the concept in source Yud Gimel. And so does the Chalkas Mechokek, at least apparently. Meaning, the Shulchan Aruch writes in source Yud Dalet, Shira kesef shemekachim bo mishkol chatzi sa'ora kesef tsaruf. Right? There's your measure. Again, the half a barley kernel, and look at the Chalkas Mechokek on it in source Tezvav. Ayin Yeredeya, ba'ayin gam Chalkas Mechokek b'sma. Did Sarach Iyun Lemaisa b'sman Shalanu Shapheres b'yoker? He brings you the Sma's question. He says Sarach Iyun. He doesn't say let's overturn the whole system. But take a look at the Mincha Shlomo in source Tezayin. There's a footnote there from Rav Shlomo Zalman. In source says that he says Nir Lefini is daiki. The mashma de la halacha choshim gam ledas hasovim shemamakom shakesef ubezol ve'ein yicholim liknos b'chatzis zera kesef ki mam mizeir she'ein ze chashuv pruta. He says lemaisa we are concerned about this possibility. We are concerned that maybe the Sma is correct, and therefore in places where you can't buy anything for half a barley kernel of silver, which would basically be the world, at this point, as we'll see when we get to what it's actually worth on today's market, we'll get to that by the end, God willing. He says, I think we are choshish for it. We are indeed concerned, as the Sma wrote, and he notes the Shach as well. Dim lo kein, because otherwise, nimsa shebizmanenu zeh shediram echad kesef shu mishkal samal dal zaros enu shava ela, and I don't know what unit of currency he's referring to there. I don't know what he's referring to. Lefi zed dot dot dot. He says lachin kevin shlefi devarenu who mozil as hakesef meirko havale shabik shar pachas bishav apruta she'eno tofes pidyon. That's his position. Okay, so the second view is monetary value, and apparently we are concerned for it. Rabbi, are you going to say?
No.
Okay. The third view is the view that you've already seen quoted a few times, is that kesef is a particular quantity of silver. Where did they get that from? So the Vilna Gaon tells you, take a look, please, at Yedzayin Yudches. Yedzayin is the halacha from Pidyon HaBen that we've already referred to a few times from Shulchan Aruch Shin Hey. Mitzvah Zeh Liftos Kol Ish Mi Yisrael Benoshu B'chor Li'imo Yisraelis Behei Sloim Kuf Chaf Moim Shloshim Dir Hamim. And then after that, Vayim Leil Simdrich Tzayidalad Kamehim Ba the Yesh Omrim Shehei Slam Heim Be'erach Shnei Zehuvim. Some say 5 sela is about 2 of these German gold coins, which are 2 Polish gold coins. Okay, so take a look at the gra on that in Yudches. Sarech Leida She'ein Mishtana Shira Prutos V'cholam Adbeos Mimos Moshe. He says these have never changed in value. Go all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. They have never changed. The Shaklu Hagaonim Apruta Umatsu Sheshokel Chatzi Saora. And what they did was they weighed the pruta that they had. And that was what it weighed. He's going by weight. And what he's saying is it was the weight of the metal that was involved. So if you have a problem with the issue of going with weight going all the way back, take it up with the Vilna Gaon, please. But that's his statement. The Chazon Ish in Yud Tes says the following. He says, "V'shir pruta de chashiv mamon hu shir chachamim de pachos mizeh lo chashiv mamon de machli bo inchi." The Chazon Ish gives a different explanation. I don't think what he's saying here is the same thing as the Gra. He says that the chachamim evaluated and said people are willing to forgive less than this amount. That's how they evaluated and came up with half a barley kernel. They said, the Chachamim said, people will forgive less than that, and therefore, Beis Din will not deal with amounts that are smaller than that, and therefore it is not valuable for Kiddushin either. Inami, alternatively, and this may be Vilna Vilna Gaon, Havi B'chal Shiur and Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. This is what we've done since Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the way it's always been, and therefore this is the way it shall be. So two different possibilities for the source of it, maybe 3, but I think it's really 2. I think the latter one is really the Gra idea. Sorry? The second one I think is the Gra, yeah. So either is that they simply weighed the pruta they had, and that's what the pruta has always been. Alternatively, the position of the Chazon Ish that they said, people are mocha less than this. The Rishonim, again, basically down the line, say it is a particular amount of silver. I brought you the Rambam. No, just kidding. We referred to the Rambam already earlier, so I didn't reproduce it here on the sheet. We're going to come back to his language anyway, but I see what I did it in Gimel. Yeah, back in Gibel, I quoted it for you from his comment on our Mishnah, Pruta Chatzi Gargar Mikesef. But we're going to see more from this Rambam. We're not done with him. But also, the Bet HaKabayis has quoted the Beis Yosef in Source Chaf. Aval Igal Meidav, the Bekesef Nami, Afilu Upachas Michatzi Sa'ora, Igal Meichash Shema Shava Pruta B'madai. He says, we are concerned still that that even if Kesef is less than the half the barley kernel, we're still worried about its purchasing power elsewhere, as we've discussed. The Efshar Deshir Kiddush Na Bichatzi Sa'ora Kesef, the Chol Kesef Pachas Michatzi Sa'ora, Afilu Shava Tuva Midvar Macherim, Ein Kan Shir Kesef Shetzvicha Tara Lekidushin. That's the Bet HaKabayis' statement. If it's less than half a barley kernel, even if it is worth more, that's not the amount of kesef that we would use for kiddushin. That's the Bet HaKabayis' statement.
Even if it's worth more than what?
More than the Chatzi Seora of...
That doesn't make any sense.
No, sorry. The idea is that even though it has more purchasing power than other coins that may be out there, that's his idea.
Other coins. He's really being misyachis to that cheetah. He's not.
No, coins an hour a day, not what was. In other words, what he's doing here is he's arguing with Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said it's the smallest coin you have, and he's saying that's not true.
Okay.
That's the idea. The question that you have to ask, though, is this. Why did the Mishnah give me a copper pruta as the measure? If it's an amount of silver, the Mishnah should have said, Chatzi Seora Kesef. Right? Why are you playing games? So you could take what the Rambam and the Meiri said above to explain pruta. That pruta to them was a coin that either, according to the Rambam, was a certain amount of silver, or according to the Meiri, included an amount of silver. And when they said pruta, that's what they meant. That's the idea. Or you have the Avne Miluim. The Avne Miluim says, did I bring it here on the sheet? Yes. He says, pruta shanachosh es nami in source chaf aleph, eino ela shvei kesef. He says, the pruta that we have today really is the equivalent of kesef, which is the other point that we've been frustrated by before. Upruta de kamri beis hil, hainu mishno chatzi sa'ora. When he says pruta, he means the weight of half a barley kernel, ushvei pruta hainu kol davar sheshava mishno chatzi sa'ora kesef. A shava pruta means that which is equal to the weight of half of the barley kernel. As you've already said, if you have lesser amount of silver that's worth more than other things, it doesn't matter. But the point that I wanted to show you in the Avne Miluim is that he says Beis Hillel uses the word pruta to mean an amount of silver equal to the weight of a copper pruta. That's the idea. That's not seen in these words, though. Sorry?
It's also very misleading.
It is very misleading. But also, I need to go back, because I don't think that's actually what he's saying here. I saw it in the Avne Miluim, but this isn't mukhra from what I'm saying here. But that is the way he takes it, that pruta means an amount of silver equal to the weight of a copper pruta. In other words, copper pruta's weigh, chatzi se'ora, and that's what you need. And so what we mean is silver in the amount of a pruta. That's the idea. But I need to get a better quote for it. This quote is not exactly it. Okay. There is one other view that Rabbi showed in his article cites from Chaim Benish's article in Tchumen in Source Chaf Beis. Chaim Benish, Mechaber Sefer Midos V'Shiurei Torah, Mishalei Ben Shtei Ashitos She'Eveinu Le'el. He says that Rav Benish merges the view that it's a value and the view that it's a quantity. How? L'da'ato, in his view, Milachat Chila B'mei HaShas, Haisa Hagdaras HaKesef Hagdara Shel Erech Kavua V'lo Shel Mishka. Go back to the time of the Gemara, and it was a value. That's all it was. Ela shela acher shegalu yisro me'artam v'ispazru b'na umos. When he went into galus, his orer koshi likboa b'chomakom eshira b'yashal taro lafim at b'yos hamekomiyim. It became hard to say, well, where you live, it's this amount in your currency. Where you live, it's this amount in your currency, because currencies change, and where you live changes. V'lachein k'di likboa shir katzub l'shiram b'yashal taro kavu haga'onim es hashir b'mishko matachas kesef. So what they did was, They said, we're going to come out with a weight of silver that you can then translate wherever you go. Shir zehua shir shizka Rambam, and that's what the Rambam brought. As the Ladato, within the as the Rambam explained it, Asu Agaonim Shinuy Sodi Bihyuve Yamaman Shabatara Bimahavaram Bikitzvas Erech Likitzvas Mishkal. As he understands the Rambam, and as we'll see, not everybody reads the Rambam this way, but the way he reads the Rambam, what the Rambam is saying is that the Gaonim actually changed things. The Gaonim said, we are going from Mamon to weight. Humosif kimatzanu davar domek gavim mitzvah kiddush hachodesh shaba mishechadlu l'kadesh esachadashim l'fiyah re'iyah tiknu cheshbon kavua. He says that that we find a similar thing regarding kiddush hachodesh. Right, there's a classic idea with kiddush hachodesh that they stopped doing it via re'iyah and instead they went to doing it abi cheshbon. The Rav Sadja Gaon thinks that's wrong, but everybody else in the world thinks it's right. So the view of Rav Chaim Benish is the same thing happened here. They said we can't do it based on value anymore, and therefore you do it based on weight. As I said, others do not read the Rambam this way. They think the Rambam is saying what the Vilna Gaon said, which is they weighed it and they found it was chatzi, and that's what we've always used. So it's a unique read of the Rambam. But those are your three perspectives on what kesef means in the Torah with application for what we're willing to use today. Okay. What happens now? So what is what is it? Now that we understand that the dominant view is it's half a barley kernel of silver, right? Acknowledging that, we have some concern for the view of the Sma, that it has to have a certain purchasing power to it. So what is a pruta bizman hazeh? So first of all, when we say kesef, for our material, we require specifically pure kesef. Yaakov has to step out. It's too bad because now that was his question. But take a look at source chav gimel from the Rambam and Hilchos Toin V'Nitan. The rule is that modeh b'miktzas, the person who has a claim made against him, and he admits that he admits to part of the claim, has to take a shvua, has to take an oath if his admission is on a pruta's amount or more. So the Rambam says, "Ein modeh b'miktzas chayav shvua min atara ad sheyodeh b'pruta ayet." Oh yes, sir. V'yichfor b'shtei moyin kesef o yoser. He has to acknowledge owing pruta or more, and deny owing two ma'a or more. V'kamahi pruta, how much is a pruta? Mishko chasi sa'ora shakesef naki. Half a barley kernel of pure silver. And how much is two mayan? Shtayim ushloshim sa'oros, 32 barley kernels of kesef mizukak. Now, I reached out, I told you last time that I gave a shiur on this topic back in the summer of 2010. And at the time, I reached out to people I know who work in metallurgy. One of my former presidents in my shul in Allentown was a professor of metals and related fields in Lehigh University, which, for those who don't know the university system in the U.S., is the equivalent of University of Toronto for engineering. Like, the way U of T engineering is, that's the way Lehigh is. Like, they work with NASA, they do stuff like that. So I trust him that he knows his stuff. And basically, the result that I had was to say, there seems to be no distinction between Mizukak and Naki. Even though the Rambam uses them both in the same line, which makes it sound like there should be a distinction, nonetheless, it seems that there is not a distinction. And in fact, you do find the two terms used interchangeably as you go through the Makaros. As you go through sources, you see that they use them interchangeably. It seems like Mizukak and Naki are both the same point. What is this? So I brought you, in Chavdalet, I just brought you the Shulchan Aruch. It's basically, word for word, the Rambam. You see it? Except for one thing. What's the one thing that he changed? Exactly. He took out the word mizukak. And naki is naki, and don't worry about it. That's worth noting. But what is the idea of being naki? So take a look at the parish of Mishnayos and Bechoros in Source Cafe. Va'amru, and now we come back to Tzuri. Va'amru ubemana Tzuri. Rotsa lomar she oso hadavar shemishaleim mitirkoves matbeya sur, meaning that which is used, he's in context talking about Pidyon HaBen, that which you use has to have the makeup of matbeya sur. So Rabbi Yeris noted earlier the drash on v'tzarta hakesef, that it has to have tzura, because it's both tzura. Is that what the Rambam means here when he says Sure. The answer is likely no. Sorry? He's talking about Tyre. T-Y-R-E. I don't know what the Tyrians were using as their coin. So what I want you to do is use the purest possible silver, meaning the issue is the makeup of the coin. They were known in Tyre for using coins that were accepted everywhere. And if you read Ruchai Benish's article in Chavav, which, yes, has the endorsement of Yated Ne'eman, he goes into it at length, that in Tyre they had a silver coin that went anywhere. Over La Socher, that was their coin. So much so that one of the things that confuses me most in all of Mishnah is this business that the Chachamim changed the definition of a shekel. At one point, the Chachamim changed the definition of the shekel. They added to the definition of a shekel in order to match the Manetzuri, in order to match what they were using in Tyre. Our shekel should be as good as that one that's being used in Tyre. I still have a very hard time understanding that. But that's the idea. So, when we say Manetzuri, what we mean is not a minted coin, tsur like tsura meaning minted, but rather what we mean is a coin like those from Tyre, which were high quality silver, and that's why the Rambam says you have to use the most refined one you can get. In Source Chav Zayin, this is what my former president had told me likely is the process of making something naki. It's called copulation. I'm assuming it's copulation, not cupulation, but I don't know how they pronounce these in Canada. But it's a refining process, and you can read about it there. That was what he used then. It's still used today. Okay, so we require that it have pure silver. Interesting note on this from the Graf Noah, Rav Avram Chaim Noah, in Source Chaf Ches, major posek, end of the 19th century, Lubavitcher, actually, originally. Well, not originally, always. But a major posek on the issue of Shiurim. Whenever you read Shiurim, they always tell you, well, here's the Shiur of the Graf Noah, here's the Shiur of the Chazon Ish. So he tells you, Shir Pruta Hu Mishkal Chatzi Sarah Mikesef Mizukak, the half barley kernel that everyone's been saying since the Rambam, which is 1/40th of a gram. And he says, Vashilling Hayotse Be'eretz Yisrael Hayom, the shilling that they have in Israel today. I don't know if that means he's already in the mandate period, such that the shilling is going to be acceptable. Huma Orav Bekesef Ushar Matachas. He says, that isn't pure silver. It has silver and other metals. But Yeshbo Kesef Mishkal 4 grams. It has 4 grams of silver in it. So, which is a language we still use today, minus the word shilling. Meaning, on machalel, my meiser sheni, on a pruta within the coin that I have. But the point is, kesef naki is what we want, and when you have coins that are corrupted, that don't have pure silver, then you have to make sure you have a pruta of silver that's actually in it. Now, modern silver coins tend to be 99% silver or thereabouts, so the Graf Noah is concerned about the shilling they were using at the time is less relevant bizmanenu. But what does matter is, when you want to figure out what silver is worth, you have to get a quote that's from 999 silver, not 925 silver or sterling silver. Sterling silver is not 100% silver. Sterling silver is 92.5% silver, hence the name 925 silver. The rest of it is copper and other metals. So that's just something to be cognizant of when you try to do the math on these things. So, what we have is material that has to be pure silver. That is our attempt to fulfill Manetzuri. And it has to have a certain size to it, which we already know, because we've been reading it over and over again. But here is the Rambam from the Mishnah in Bechoros and Soros Chav Tes. V'akabbalah asher biyadi me'aba mari zatzal, me'aviv mizikno ish mipi ish zal, shagargrim halalu sheshoklin behen gargari se'orim. When we say it's a kernel, we mean a barley kernel. I don't know where that comes from, but it's just true. gargrim ushmonu barba gargrim, so a sala will be 384 gargrim. And he goes on, and in his various places he tells you, a pruta will be, as I brought you from the Choshkalim in source Lamed, Mishkal HaPruta, Chatzi Seora, half of a barley kernel, and that's what everybody brings. The Russian Becharos does it, the Tur does it, Beis Yosef does it, the Shulchan Aruch does it, as we already saw. And interestingly, barley kernels were actually very popular in the ancient world as a system to measure weight. If you take a look at source Lamed Aleph, from a source that owes, you know, they owe nothing to the Gemara, it's just a general historical source, they talk about the grain, 1/5760th of the troy pound, and the apothecary's pound, 1/7000th of the pound, whatever that word is, a word of poise, is traditionally the weight of a barley corn. And he goes into it, you can see it there, Ayin Shum in the source, to see more about the use of barley kernels as a system of weight. The problem you run into is, of course, that barley kernels are not uniform, any more than any other agricultural product is uniform. So if you take a look at source Lamed Beis on your sheet, courtesy of the Canadian Grain Commission, regarding that all-Canadian concern, which is beer, they talk about measuring barley kernel color and size to predict the quality of malt you will get. I'm assuming that's beer, but I don't actually know. They use malt for all sorts of things. But the point is that they're telling you there are different sized barley kernels. And at the end of that source, I refer you to a book called Barley Science, which also speaks to this issue of the variation. There they talk about looking at kernel size in order to indicate the nutritional quality of the barley that's going to be produced. They all take it as a given that even in the same era, let alone over time, you're going to have a variety of barley sizes. That's the way agriculture works. This is not a new problem. This is a problem that was already identified at the end of the 19th century with the Tzlach. The Tzlach was the one who sounded the alarm on this. Rabbi Cheska Landau, when he moved to Prague and he remeasured the Revius template that they used in Prague, you know, communities had, still have for that matter, for certain metrics, a physical object that is whatever the measure that they're talking about, and that's the one that you're supposed to measure against. So they had a thing that was this long called a foot. Today we have all sorts of other, you know, more refined systems of doing this and doing it more abstractly. But communities had a Revius. And if you want to know, is your kosher Revius, go to the Revius, pour some water into it, pour it into your cup, and see, does it hold the Revius or not? That was how you solved your problem. The problem is that the Nodeb Yehuda shows up, Nodeb Yehuda, a.k.a. Tzlach, shows up in Prague, has the Rav, and he measures the Revius, and it doesn't fit. It isn't what a Revius should be, because there are two ways to calculate the size of a Revius. One is based on eggs, and one is based on finger breaths, and measuring it came to the conclusion that either fingers are bigger now than they used to be, or eggs are smaller now than they used to be. And the problem with that is Niskat Nehuadaros. So how can it be that our fingers will be bigger than fingers were before? I'm going to leave aside that entire discussion, because it's a fascinating one, but way beyond what we're going to cover in the next 13 minutes. But the Tzlach was the one who sounded the alarm. And it was dealt with by the big figures of the time. One classic approach is the approach that the Chazon Ish and his brother-in-law, the Kilas Yaakov, took to solve the problem. And the answer is that whenever we are given a shear that is flexible, that changes over time, that means that the shear, whenever it changes, is correct. Whatever the shear becomes is correct. In other words, if half a barley kernel back then was a certain size in an objective way, and today it's a different size in an objective way, doesn't matter. They're both right for that door. So take a look at source Lamed Gimel. This is a Mishnah in Kalim. Kibetza sha'amru lo gedola v'lo ketana ela beinonis. When they say kibetza, it means an average betza. Rabbi Yehuda, or maybe Gedola Shabbatola, Ketana Shabbatanos, Venotan Sochamayim, Becholekes Amayim. Rabbi Yehuda, like Archimedes, says use displacement in order to figure out what your average beta is. Take the largest one, stick it in water, and see how much water is displaced. Take the smallest one, stick it in water, see how much water is displaced, and then in the middle, that'll be your Bainanus. Rabbi Yossi says, I don't know what you're talking about. How do you know the large one you got is the large one? How do you know the small one you got is the smallest one? Someone else has one that's larger, someone else has one that's small. Ella, call if he died or shall roa. The answer is look at the egg. Does it look like an average egg? Good. That's Rabbi Yossi's position. So on that, Lamed Dalet is from the Kilas Yaakov's Shiurin de Oraisa. He says, Rabbi Yossi's conclusion is you go by the observer. The Kaimel and Rabbi Yossi, and that's who we follow. And Rabbi Yehuda will agree that when you can't identify, when you don't have all the eggs at your disposal to say here's large, here's small, that's what you're going to have to do. As Rabbi Yossi noted, otherwise, how do you know yours is the biggest? So if one basin says, here's an egg, this is your average size, and another basin has a different egg, says that's the average size, they're both right. That's halacha. You're supposed to go based on what you see, and he quotes your Shri Ragon as a source on this. Umeata. So he says, even if you were to say, I have now re-examined the Rambam's shir, and it's smaller than the shir that everyone is using now, you still go with the shir that everyone's using now. That's the view now. He says, don't get carried away and say, well, in that case, every individual Jew does his own remeasuring. We're not playing games. You have authorities in your door, they're the ones we evaluate. The Kaman Shekain also omed Raboseinu Zehu etzem Ashir, and since that's what they came up with, that's the Shir. They're not disagreeing with the Rambam. The Rambam would say, you're right. And now he has a problem. Because when did it change? The Rambam was right for his time. I'm right for my time. What about people 300 years ago who used the Rambam Shir? Shouldn't they have done their own time? So he says, all those people all along who found the Rambam Shir, Mishum Shalo Ro, Shashir Mishunim, Mizu, Shakasav Rambam Zal, Shapir Kedin Asu. They were fine. If they didn't notice any change, then what they did was what they should do. That's exactly right. The Valkopanim calls it Hukshalom Atzanu Shir Acher. As long as we don't see that the Shir has changed, Aval Kevin Shekvar Nasa Maisa Ugdola Yisrael Matzush Ravias Hukamo Gimel Beitzim Shalanu Zewa Shir Shalanu. Today we see Ravias has to be different. It's based on our eggs, and our eggs say this is the answer for what a Ravias is. Now we're stuck. Once the Tzlach blew it. Right, we were very happy following the Rambam's measure, but now that Tzlach remeasured, now we have to re-examine it. Applying this to the pruta and the barley corn, we use today's barley corn. That's what we do. I skip the Chazanish, but it's the same idea. Chazanish is talking about olives. And the fact that back in the Mishnah's day you had different sized olives. You had the Zayis HaGori, Zayis HaMidbari, Zayis HaMitzris. So he says, I added the word that's in brackets. HaGori Midbaris and Mitzris. Hainu calls Mansha Matsui Biyadan. Aval Amein Matsui Biyadan. Rishus Biyachacham Shabadaras Habam Likbor Lachol Yisrael Mashinir Lahem. And Abbeinu Shabbos Manayem. Every door they go based on the average olive they have. Olim Solachol Echad Shikba Abbeinu Nefidato Vimekamal. Maybe they have to say, based on where you are, the olives where you live. And it may end up being for each individual if they don't have an evaluation by whoever the leaders are in their generation. So now, going back to Pruta. The look at the Chazanish in Lamed Vav. V'nira d'gam pruta sh'nimsara b'shiurin nimsara amishkal davar tivi shekayam ledoros. He says, pruta was given to us, and this is my problem with the Benish article earlier, because this is straight out not agreeing with him. He says, the pruta that was given in the shiur is based on something natural that exists for all time. The Ava Gav Dehera Kadosh Baruch Hu Lemoshe Matbeya Benis Ames Lo Orach Veroachav Shalapruta Bekesef Tzaruf. Granted that Hashem showed Moshe this coin, so to speak, and he knew what the dimensions were of it using purified silver. V'haya Hashir Shir Amiti, and that was the true Shir. Mikomakom Ledorosi Efshir Shir Lehishtamer. No one is going to be able to maintain that over time. Use Moshe's pruta. And what happens when I don't have Moshe's pruta? Now what do I do? So therefore, we have the barley kernel that we work with. And Maybe he's not disagreeing with Benish. Maybe that is what Benish was saying. He says that if the Chachamim see that it's being lost, they have to establish a measure that people will be able to use. That shear is accepted. And then he says, so alright, now I remember why Rabbenish, he's going back and forth. One view is Rabbenish-like, and the other one is not.
Isn't it a bit more complicated? Because
you know what, I have 6 minutes. I just want to finish this, and then I'll take the question. I think we can get it in and still get to the question. I just want to make sure before I go further with it. I brought you one other piece from the Chazon Ish in Lamed Zayin, just to show you what he says in the last line, in which he says the key is, I like his wording, that we're not talking about a simon. We're talking about a shiur. And that's the key. Meaning, it's not that if it's a barley kernel size, that shows that it's really the right amount. The shear is barley kernel. And if barley kernels change, then match the barley kernel in your days. They may grow, they may shrink. But that's the idea here, is that it's a shear, it's not a simmon. That's the idea. He has more than that here, as you can see. And it's worth reading, where I wouldn't have bothered bringing it. So today, the Tzitz Eliezer says to us, and we've already seen references like it, in Lamed Ches, Hapruta hi mishkal chatzi sera kesef, ugram kesef hu mishkal esrim sa'oros. He says, a gram of silver is 20 barley kernels. So barley kernel, we've already seen it, is 1/40th of a gram. Bofen shal shivui gram kesef esher liptos arboim pam. So that means that a gram will give you 40 prutas. He's talking about Meiser Sheni. So you want a pruta, you can get 40 prutas out of it before you have to do something about it. I've seen other sources, like the Sefer Midos and Mishkalos Shel Torah, which say that it's between 40 and 50 milligrams. Okay, fine. But the application for us...
Pruta or
a Sora? A Sora. Oh. No, I think half a Sora.
Right.
Half a Sora, which is a Pruta.
You're talking in terms of Sora, right? Gram kesef mishkal swim sa'oro, so therefore a half a gram.
Yeah.
Half of that, and that's a good 40.
Right. No, that's true. I'm saying that I've seen estimates as high as 40 or 50 milligrams. 1/40th is 25 milligrams. Yes. For a prutah. Yeah. The Midos and Mishkal Shel Torah used to be at a certain link on the Dot website, which I had written into my notes, but they changed their site, and now I can't find it. I'm sure it's there somewhere. Midos and Mishkal Shel Torah is what you're looking for. So the Shaul Benishal, writing in 1945 in Jerba, he was from Tunisia, in Source Lamed Tes, tells us that in 1945, based on the price of silver and the Rambam and Hilchos Shkalim, he says the pruta is 22.5 cents. I don't know what he's talking about. First of all, because I don't know what his cents were. He was living in Tunisia. I don't know what cents these were, and I also don't know what his weights were. So I'm not. You know, I quoted just to show you someone trying to make the translation into their own units, but it's not so valuable for us. So there are 31.1 grams in one troy ounce. On Wednesday of this past week at 11:50 a.m., which is when I went to check, silver was $18.83 Canadian per troy ounce for 999 silver. For reference, when I gave the shear in August of 2010, it was higher. It was between $19 and $20. So silver's gone down since then. That's not surprising. Commodities in general have been down of late. So taking a Mahmir view of 50 milligrams, mm-hmm. right, for a barley kernel, total. So taking the view that half a barley kernel is 25 milligrams, and taking a Machmir view of $19 an ounce, rounding up, in other words, per ounce, you get a pruta of 1.5 cents Canadian. 1.527 cents Canadian is what you end up with for a pruta. When now you understand the frustration of the Sma, who looks at that and says, we don't even use pennies anymore. He's got 1/8 of a penny. Like, what in the world are you buying with this? Why would anybody accept this as Kesef Kiddushin? And now you understand Rishon Mazalman saying, yeah, we don't. You got to give her something that's worth more than this. This is ridiculous.
The Sma got rid of the penny.
Yes.
There you go.
But that's the but that's what you end up with if you apply the weight in silver. Do your own evaluations, check your own websites, and see if you come up with any different, or check your barley kernels. You know, for all of that matters. Either way, Jeffrey, you were going to ask.
Yeah. So this last whole discussion was saying, you know, we have to look at the olives or barley kernels or fingers of today's generation, right? But that's not the whole story, because you still have machlokas as to, you know, what's the release today, because on each size, this size, that size, so there's an added factor that we haven't discussed.
Why?
Because even if we're using today's things,
yeah,
the chachamim still come out with different views.
Right. No, that's true. Meaning some of the evaluations are still going to be subject to
right.
the person
that
is impact
them. What a puta is then?
Well, no. I mean, it just means you have to be responsible about getting good data on barley kernels.
So where does...
I mean, the fact that all of them, in different places and working on different bases, come out with this, you know, 1/40th of a gram, and I've seen it far and wide. And again, I refer you to that sefer that I didn't find this time round, this Midos and Mishkalos Shel Torah, who lists many possibilities for the weight. They're all coming out with a very similar range. It's not extreme in the differences. So that tells you something, I think, about how this is working. Yes, Rabbi Harris.
The reason I raised the chart, though,
yeah,
is because
if anyone has to go, they can go. I think it's yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.